All right, so today we're going to be diving into something called progressive discourse.
Ooh.
Sounds a little intimidating, I know.
Yeah.
It's a really fascinating concept for having better conversations, especially when things get really complex.
Yeah.
Think about those meetings where everyone's like talking past each other, using the same words, but not really understanding what each other means.
Right.
That's what progressive discourse is trying to solve.
Exactly.
We are basing this deep dive on Gary Ackerman's article Progressive Discourse, which is on the hackscience.education website.
Mm-hmm.
And this is mostly focused on education, but honestly, I think it applies to so many different areas of life.
Absolutely. I think it's about how we communicate and make decisions, whether it's in the classroom or planning a project at work, or honestly, even just like...
Even just life.
Yeah, just like in personal relationships. Yeah.
Totally. So let's break down what progressive discourse actually is.
Yeah.
I'm picturing like a super formal debate with rules and points, but I have a feeling it's not quite that.
No, you're right. It's not about that strict formality. It's more about having a structured conversation where the goal is to establish facts through dialogue.
Okay.
And what's interesting is that participants might have different roles and levels of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about everyone being on the same level from the start.
Okay, so it's not necessarily about agreeing, but more about getting a clearer picture of what the facts are.
Exactly. You're exploring knowledge and ideas together. You're challenging assumptions along the way. And that shared exploration often leads to a deeper understanding, even if you don't end up agreeing on everything.
Interesting. When I was reading Ackerman's article, a few things really jumped out at me.
Okay.
One was this idea of conceptual artifacts, which sounds very Indiana Jones.
Right.
But I have a feeling it's not about like finding the lost ark or something like
no,
that.
No, it's not about that. In this context, it's about tackling the problem of vague language.
Oh, yeah.
We all know how frustrating it can be when people use the same words but mean totally different things.
Happens all the time.
All the time.
Mm.
So conceptual artifacts are about creating clear, shared definitions.
Okay.
The example that Ackerman gives is defining problematic and idealistic realizations of classroom concepts.
Got it.
So instead of just throwing these words around, you're grounding them in specific examples and actions.
Mm-hmm.
It's like saying, okay, when we say problematic in this context, we mean this specific issue.
Yeah, it's like making a dictionary.
Exactly.
For your conversation.
Yes.
I could see how that would prevent a lot of problems down the line.
Absolutely. And this ties into another key principle of progressive discourse, the assumption that things can always be improved.
Right. I think everyone wishes that was the case in most meetings. Like, we're here to make things better.
It's a powerful shift in perspective. It's not about finding the perfect solution right away, but rather about continually striving for a better understanding and finding ways to improve.
I love that.
Yeah.
So common understanding comes into play here, because if you're always trying to improve, you need to make sure everyone's on the same page.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Common understanding is absolutely crucial in progressive discourse.
Okay.
It's what distinguishes it from a debate where the goal is often just to win an argument.
So in a debate, you're trying to convince the other side.
Yes.
But in progressive discourse, you're not trying to win. You're trying to
build a shared understanding of the facts.
Okay.
Even if you don't agree on the solutions.
I like that.
Yeah.
And this emphasis on shared facts brings us to another important point.
Yes.
Expanding fact.
Expanding fact.
Ackerman quotes Richard Feynman, who says, reality must take precedence over public relations.
I love that quote.
You can't just like spin your way out of reality.
Exactly.
You have to constantly be testing your assumptions against what is actually true.
Precisely. And that's what drives progressive discourse.
Okay.
Evidence and observation, not just opinions or what we want to believe.
I like that a lot. So we've got shared definitions,
yes,
focus on improvement,
mm-hmm,
and this commitment to actually finding the facts.
Yes.
But what about when people disagree? Is there room for debate in this whole process?
Absolutely there is. In fact, criticism is actively encouraged in progressive discourse.
Really? I would think that would cause conflict.
It can, but it's not about tearing each other down. It's about using constructive criticism to refine ideas.
Gotcha.
Think of it like this. You're all working together to polish a rough diamond.
Okay.
So instead of saying you're wrong, it's more like, hey, have you considered this angle?
Yeah.
It's about pushing each other to think more deeply and test our assumptions against the evidence. And this brings us to another key principle.
Okay.
Non-sectarianism.
That's a big word. Break it down for me.
Basically, it means coming into the conversation with an open mind.
Okay.
You're not attached to a predetermined conclusion or agenda. You're willing to let the evidence guide you, even if it challenges your initial beliefs.
Wow, that's a tall order.
It is.
But I can see how that would be important, especially when you're talking about something as complex as education.
Absolutely. And speaking of education, Ackerman gives some really interesting examples of how these principles can play out in the real world of schools and planning.
So tell me about some of those real-world examples, because I'm super curious to see how this actually works when you've got like a school board trying to make decisions.
Well, Ackerman contrasts two very different approaches.
Okay.
In the first scenario, you have a committee that's basically there to rubber stamp decisions that have already been made.
Oh.
They might go through the motions of discussing a plan, but it's more about appearances than substance.
Ugh, I've been in those meetings. Like,
Right.
so boring.
It's all about following procedures, checking boxes, maintaining the status quo.
Yeah.
There's very little genuine exploration of ideas or critical thinking happening.
Right.
But then he describes a very different scenario where progressive discourse is actually being put into practice.
Okay, so what does that look like?
Well, it starts with asking fundamental questions, challenging assumptions right from the get-go. Ackerman uses the example of technology-rich classrooms.
Okay.
Instead of assuming everyone agrees on what that means, they start by asking, what do we actually mean by technology-rich classrooms?
Ah, so it's about getting everyone on the same page about the language, which
Exactly.
goes back to that conceptual artifact thing.
Yes.
I can see how that would save a lot of time and
Absolute.
confusion.
And then they go even deeper, asking, what does our current practice actually look like?
Oh, interesting.
They're not relying on assumptions or wishful thinking. They're grounding the conversation in evidence, in observation, in the reality of their specific situation.
So they're gathering facts before jumping to solutions,
Exactly.
which makes sense. But how do you go from those facts to making decisions?
Well, because you have this foundation of shared knowledge and understanding, you're not just throwing solutions out there randomly.
Right.
You're building on that foundation, making sure the decisions are aligned with the actual needs and the evidence you've gathered.
So the decisions are more likely to be grounded in reality
Precisely.
and make sense for everyone.
And because the process has been so thorough, it's also more likely to have buy-in from everyone involved.
Right, because when you feel like you've actually been heard and
Yes.
your perspective's been taken into account, you're
Exactly.
more likely to support the outcome.
It's not about winning or losing.
Yeah.
That's a key point.
Yeah.
And this is where the power of progressive discourse really shines. It's not just about making better decisions, but about creating a culture of collaboration, critical thinking, and continuous improvement.
Now that sounds like a much more enjoyable and productive way to work,
Yes.
but I imagine it takes a lot of effort to build that kind of culture.
It does.
It's not always easy to have these thoughtful conversations when you're also dealing with deadlines and, you know.
Right, you have to create the space for it.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means slowing down the process to really dig deep. And it's not just about the process, it's also about individual mindsets.
Ooh, mindsets. Tell me more about that.
Well, for starters, it requires a willingness to let go of the need to be right all the time.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
It is. It's human nature. We all want to be right.
Yeah.
But in progressive discourse, the goal isn't to win.
Right.
It's about getting closer to the truth. And that often means admitting when you're wrong or when you've learned something new.
So being open to new information, even if it challenges your previous beliefs.
Exactly. And it also requires a commitment to active listening,
Sure.
really trying to understand the other person's perspective, even if you don't agree with it.
That can be so hard, though, especially when you feel like maybe your perspective's not being heard or, you know, things are getting a little heated.
Absolutely. We've all been there. But that's where those structured roles and the focus on evidence can really help.
Okay.
It keeps the conversation grounded and focused, even when things get a little heated.
Yeah, like having a referee almost,
Exactly.
making sure everyone's playing by the
Yeah.
rules. So I'm getting a much better sense now of how all these different pieces of progressive discourse fit together.
Good.
But I have to ask, is it really achievable?
That's a great question.
I mean, it sounds a little idealistic.
It is aspirational. There's no doubt about that. But I do think it's possible,
Okay.
especially when you have a group of people who are committed to the process and willing to put in the effort.
So it's not about being perfect. It's about striving to, you know, get a little bit better each time.
Exactly. Even small steps towards incorporating these principles can make a big difference in the quality of your conversations and decisions.
I love that. This has been so insightful.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
What would you say is like the one big takeaway you want our listeners to get from this deep dive on progressive discourse?
I think the key takeaway is that progressive discourse is a powerful tool, a tool for navigating complexity, making better decisions, and building stronger relationships.
Yeah. It's like you're giving us a new set of tools to use.
Yes. It takes practice and skill to use it effectively. That's where Ackerman's article is so helpful. It provides a framework for understanding these principles.
Right.
But ultimately, it's up to each of us to decide how we want to communicate and engage with the world around us.
So, listener, we'll leave you with this question. How could you apply the principles of progressive discourse to your own life? Whether it's at work in your community or even in your personal relationships, how can you start to shift your mindset and approach conversations in a way that prioritizes understanding evidence and continuous improvement?
Yeah, we'd love to hear your thoughts.
You can find us on social media or through our website.
And of course, be sure to check out the full article by Gary Ackerman.
We'll have a link in the show notes.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into progressive discourse.
Yes.
Until next time, keep those minds curious and those conversations flowing.
And remember, the best way to learn is to keep asking questions, keep exploring ideas, and keep diving deeper.